today on Straight Talk Africa, a discussion on the challenges and opportunities regarding entrepreneurship. Young dynamic Africans are innovating, starting businesses, bringing social and economic change to their communities and the world at large. That's coming up next right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. It's Wednesday, June 22nd. I am Shaka Sali.
Well, hello to you, Shaka, and hello to all our viewers and listeners on the continent and elsewhere. I'm Mariama Diallo, your social media reporter.
Today, we'll talk about the challenges and opportunities of African entrepreneurship.
And coming up later in our STA inbox, we'll share your thoughts on the topic. That's through your emails, tweets, and Facebook comments. That's ahead on Straight Talk Africa. Hope you'll stay with us.
But first, entrepreneurs are innovators and risk takers. My colleague, Paul Sisco, has more.
Africa has the world's youngest and fastest growing population, home to more than 200 million people between the ages of 15 and 24. It is an increasingly well-educated population that is increasingly improving lives by developing computer applications, creating businesses, products, and providing new and improved services to their communities, the continent, and the world. Steve Case, co-founder of AOL, the American mass media company, says Africa, historically viewed as a problem to solve, is now viewed by many as an opportunity to seize, and entrepreneurs are leading the way.
I think there's a recognition that Africa is open for business, that the role of young startups, entrepreneurs, and being nurtured in places here like iHub really has an opportunity to make a difference, to create a company that does have value so you can make money, but also you can have a positive impact in your society by hiring other people and creating products and services that can improve people's lives. That's a really powerful way to have an impact, and I think more and more people all around the world are realizing that startups can change the world and they want to play a role in helping change their communities, lift up their communities, whether it be in Kenya or in Africa or anywhere in the world.
Successful entrepreneurs share two key traits, talent and passion. Nigerian Kula Bello now lives in the United States. A self-taught designer, his CC Brand Company helps large and small organizations get their message out. South African Raya Ngoyeni repurposes school bags. The 100% recycled bags feature a rechargeable solar cell that doubles as a nightlight and is used to study with where and when power is unavailable.
Most importantly, what's helping a lot is the solar lantern. So the parents are coming and saying, my child's able to do work, and teachers are coming back and saying, homework is not being done. You know, so I think we're affecting all spheres of a child's life.
Afong Williams started her business, Real Fruit, with loans from family and friends. She now employs 17 people who process and sell Nigerians' healthy dry fruit snacks.
I was actually attracted to this sector for a number of reasons. Firstly, there's untapped opportunity in processing and value addition of raw materials. And I also believe that, it's a very budding sector. There's a lot of opportunity, as well as the job creation, which I think is quite important to me as an entrepreneur, to be able to, play in an industry that would create a lot of jobs.
Williams hopes to become a world-class exporter of her real fruit products. U.S. President Barack Obama addressed African entrepreneurs at last year's Global Entrepreneurship Summit in Nairobi, Kenya.
In order to create successful entrepreneurs, the government also has a role in creating the transparency and the rule of law and the ease of doing business and the anti-corruption agenda that creates a platform for people to succeed.
President Barack Obama is set to address this year's Global Entrepreneurship Summit at Stanford University in California Friday. Paul Sisco, VOA News, Washington.
Thanks, Paul, for that report. Joining us here in our studios are two distinguished guests. Kunle Bero, an African entrepreneur based here in the greater Washington, D.C. area, and Paul Ndiho, who has interviewed and interacted with many young and upcoming innovators on the continent. Well, gentlemen, I have to say frankly that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host the two of you on Straight Talk Africa.
Awesome. It's a pleasure to be here.
You're most welcome. And especially you for the first time, Kunle.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Later in the program, we'll give you, the audience, a chance to call and talk with our guests. The number to call is 202-619-3111. Yes, country code is 1. Let me come to you immediately, Kunle.
Yes.
First of all, we're talking about entrepreneurship.
Yes.
What does this word really mean? Because it seems to have its origins from the French language. What does it actually mean?
Well, I see, you know, entrepreneurs as, you know, someone that is able to take risk. I think that's the ballpark of it. And being able to solve problems.
To take risks.
Yes.
Grab opportunities.
Yes.
Exactly. Which means they must have, of course, talent.
Oh, yes, definitely.
They must have the passion thing.
Yes.
They must have the curiosity thing.
Exactly.
Do they tend to be more of passion conscient, perhaps curiosity conscient, environmental conscient type of people rather than IQ, intelligence conscient?
I would say, you know, at least for, you know, for me, I'm being driven by my passion. And that passion has basically helped in different areas that you mentioned, really. You know, because when you have a passion that that is able to change the world, you know, so then you get to, you know, see a lot of different things in terms of, you know, environmental issues that that you would like to be part of and see what you can do to make that change.
At what stage, at what age? You are a very, very young man, obviously. But frankly, at what age?
Yes.
Did you realize that that would, in fact, be your calling?
I would say 17.
17?
Yeah.
You were in high school or what?
Yes, I was actually graduating from high school around that time. You know, my dad actually basically, you know, gave me the opportunity to be able to run his business mm-hmm. at a very young age. And, I mean, I was so privileged to learn a lot even you know, at that time. And that kind of put me in a place, you know, to know that there's so much more in this life, you know, than just, you know, just seeing little things here and there. But I saw the impact that he made, you know, while he was, you know, doing business, you know. And like I said, 17, you know, kind of seemed, you know, very young. But because he showed me different areas, how to stay grounded and to, you know, really be, you know, ethical. In terms of, you know, dealing with people in the right way.
What kind of business was that and where exactly are we talking about here? Okay. Are we in Lagos or where are we?
Yes, Lagos, Lagos, Nigeria. Mm-hmm. That business was actually a plastic company. We make things like cups, you know, and kettles, mm-hmm. You know, that they use in the north. So he just, you know, had a passion for, you know, for creating something. And I saw that, you know, growing up. You know, things being manufactured, you know, right beside my house because the factory was right beside our house. You know, so I wake up every morning right before I go to school, go see the workers, you know, and just see, you know, like things, you know, come about, you know, from something very little.
So would it be fair then to say that, in fact, that may very well have been when you got really inspired?
Yes, I would say that, you know, looking back now, I mean, I definitely would say that that's where I got, you know, that passion and the drive from.
What about the specific area that you chose?
Well, mine is basically, we're still in line of creativity. Mm-hmm. You know, I deal with more of branding and customization of shirts, mm-hmm. You know, and basically that has helped me to be able to empower people, you know, small businesses, startup businesses, to be able to, you know, really know what exactly they stand for and who they are and what they provide as a business.
People often talk about branding, and yet, frankly, there are a lot of people in our audience, I think, who may not know exactly what that means. What does branding actually mean?
Okay. A lot of people, first of all, a lot of people see branding as a logo, but it's really not that. Branding is who you are. A brand is basically when someone else is able to tell what exactly you stand for.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've been able to, you know, actually get that across to, you know, someone in front of you or to your potential clients, then that's a strong brand. And that's what we see, you know, with all the, you know, big names, Coca-Cola and Nike and all, because when you think of anything that has to do in, you know, in that industry, you just think of them the first time.
There are some people, Kudle, who have characterized me, Shaka,
yes,
as a brand.
Exactly.
What does that mean in my particular case?
Hey, you're someone, you know, an iconic person. You know, you know already what you love to do. This is your passion. And people can see that, you know, through what you do on a daily basis. And that's why they're able to, you know, already brand you as, you know, Shaka, even though that's your name. But because, you know, you really always, you always, you know, kind of showcase that in everything that you do, you know, concerning, you know, being a journalist and all. People see that and they just connect with it. And that's really all that it is. You know, I mean, that is amazing. And it's a privilege to be right in front of you.
Very interesting. Kunle, I run into a lot of people every week.
Yes.
Relatives and friends, you know, people call me, they're asking for what I characterize as foreign aid. They say, I have an idea. I want to do some business, but I do not have capital.
Capital, yes.
What is very important, really, when we're talking about this business? Is it having an idea, being conscious of a market, or is it, in fact, having the capital, the almighty capital?
I mean, for me, actually, first of all, let me go back and say this about the idea part. We all have ideas, you know, and those ideas will come from something from inside, you know, something that, you know, would make us tick. You know, it's a passion, really. It's a passion for something. Mm-hmm. And you want to find something around it to make it better. We all have a purpose in life. And that's where your ideas will come from. You know, so if you have that idea, then you can be able to, you know, move forward with other things in terms of, okay, well, we'll market and where can I really find capital?
Very interesting. My colleague, Paul, you obviously have been covering these very, very interesting stories over the years. First of all, what inspired you to do that?
I was inspired by the simple fact that I've seen a lot of young people who are out of the blue come up with these incredible, incredible ideas that have turned into something tangible, something sellable on the global market. So what drove me in the first place was wanting to tell the African story. Why should it be about the negative story while there are a lot of Africans who are doing great, great things? For example, there are a lot of developments that have come out of Africa. The example of M-Pesa in Kenya, that's the number one export for Kenya right now. Everybody, every bank. When I was in Kenya last year, I met a Bank of America executive who was in Kenya to study about M-Pesa. And now I can see they're trying to implement the pay-as-you-go thing on their phones or even using their banking system. So for me, what really drove me was the fact that I could see my own brothers, my own relatives are doing the same thing, are quitting their jobs and starting small businesses, and they're successful businesses. They have successful businesses right now, and other young Africans who are doing that are largely because of the exposure they are getting through the internet. I think the internet has played a big role in as far as Africa is concerned, in a sense that you have a lot of people who see ideas. Let's say somebody in Nigeria is doing something, and they want that same idea to work in their own country. So they look at the idea and repurpose it for their own village. So that's really what's happening on the continent. Young people taking charge. Young people saying that, you know, we can no longer afford to sit back and watch. Because our governments can't employ us, what are we going to do? We have to come up with our own ideas, and that's why I'm doing what I do.
In fact, I was going to ask you next, from what you have seen, from what you have learned, I know that you have been to the western part of the continent, you've been to Central Africa, you've been to East Africa, and some parts of Southern Africa. What seems to be the key motivating factors here? What is really the common denominator?
The common denominator is the simple fact that a lot of young people are unemployed. They are looking for alternatives. They are looking for ways to contribute to society. They are coming up with solutions to solve their own problems. So, and the other thing is that they want to make some money. At the same time, be good community, play a big role in the community. So most of these people who are coming up with these are great ideas. It's largely because they are trying to solve a problem. And if you look here, even people who have been very, very successful here are people who try to solve problems. The people who come in for purposely to make money, they end up running out of the business because eventually it doesn't work out. But if you go in with a mission of solving a problem, chances are that you're going to succeed. And most of the innovations that are coming out of Africa, most of the entrepreneurs that I've seen on the continent, they're trying to solve something.
You know, there has always been a lack of jobs, in fact, in society or in countries and stuff like that. Why is it that at least this time around, frankly, young people seem to be reacting differently? Is it perhaps because of the proliferation of social media? Is it because of fiber optics, satellite, and what have you? Because most of my generation, we are basically beneficiaries of what would be called the Gutenberg factor, the printing press. You have to have the skills of reading and writing, but now kids can actually just interact with whatever is happening around the globe.
Mm. Yeah, most of the above, what you say is partly leading to that creativeness, largely because you have people of your generation, obviously, are not risk takers. Young people today,
they are risk takers. How did I come to America?
Maybe at the time you did, but most people are not risk takers. But when you look at the kinds of risks that I'm talking about, is somebody starting something before you inherited a business. Mm. But now people are saying, you know what, I don't want to inherit a business. I want to create my own business. And that's what's driving these people. You also have governments that have built an enabling system to help these young people who have ideas come to the forefront and sell their ideas. And that's also helping the young generation. Obviously, we cannot underestimate the role played by the social media or the internet. I think that's the biggest contribution that has happened to Africa. Whoever came up with internet or the social media, I think they could not have done a better job. When it comes to that, that's the one thing that has really ushered in, it has opened up Africa. It has lightened Africa to an extent that people interact. They see a story in Nigeria, they want to replicate it in Ghana, they want to replicate it in Uganda, and that's what's driving these young people.
Very interesting. Now we'll pause for a short break and would like to remind you that Straight Talk Africa is now on the social networking website Twitter, and we are tweeting live. Follow us at VOA Shaka. That's VOA Shaka, and joining in on today's discussion with your questions and comments. Don't forget to use the hashtag VOA African Entrepreneurs. And we are still on Facebook. Just enter the keyword Straight Talk Africa, become a fan, and connect with other friends of the Voice of America. We'll be right back with you, so please, don't go away.
Like Voice of America on Facebook. Follow VOA on Twitter. Join VOA on our YouTube channel. Like, follow, join VOA.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. What is your opinion about today's topic? Call us at 202-619-3111. U.S. country code 1. When you call, remember the following. Ask only one question, keep your comment brief, and turn down the volume on your radio or television. Now let's return to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githu Ewart. And of course, this is Straight Talk Africa coming to you live from Washington. Let me come back to you again, Kunle. We talk about entrepreneurship and all that kind of stuff. How different is this, for example, from inventing, like great innovators in the past, like the guy who invented, for example, the electric bulb, Thomas Edison?
Yeah.
What would you call him?
He's an inventor.
Just an inventor?
I mean,
look at electricity. It's global.
Yeah, it's global now. Yeah. I mean, in terms of I really feel like, you know, there are different people in this world. You know, they're inventors, pace setters, pioneers, and also entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of the time, Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, because most of the time, you know, people might create things. But if you don't have someone that can actually sell that thing to, you know, a bigger audience, mm-hmm. then that invention is nothing. You know, so most of the time, you know, you have to basically find an entrepreneur, that risk taker, you know, that person that wants to go out there no matter what.
So is that the type of guy, for example, who translated or transformed the electric bulb into a universal language?
First of all, someone created it, right? Mm-hmm. That already, you know, it's amazing. The person creating that, definitely went a long way, making a huge statement in what we have now.
Provided an infrastructure.
Exactly. You mm-hmm. know, something that, you know, he saw, he probably might have saw, I mean, seen something, you know, I just wanted to just, you know, create light, just light up a space. Mm-hmm. But of course, you know, when you're trying to solve a problem, just like, Paul said, you then find out that, you know, it gets bigger than you. And that's something, inventors get to see just from the passion of, I just want to create something. Mm. Because they did that, they went ahead to go do that.
Right.
It has changed our world for now.
What has Kunle Bero created so far, for example, or innovated or tweaked?
Okay. Well, right now, something that I was able to create out of, you know, a little bit of a problem that I was facing, in terms of having to, you know, stand out amongst, the big shots, mm-hmm. you know, the big companies, you know, that in my industry. I've been able to, you know, find my own niche, my niche market, mm-hmm. Which is Africans in the diaspora. Mm-hmm. And by me doing that, I had to basically separate myself, you know, from the bigger companies to see why I'm different. And why is that? Because I understand the African culture. Mm-hmm. I understand, you know, how we think. Mm-hmm. So I've been able to use my creativity in line with that and also even help African business owners in the diaspora, you know. So basically, my own creation in terms of having to brand a small business, mm-hmm. That is, you know, trying to make a statement or trying to make a living, trying to, you know, make a difference, here in this earth, I've been able to, you know, do that in a way to let them understand what they have. Because most of the time, we don't understand what we have.
So what is that? Give it some legs. Let it walk. Okay. What is that exactly?
It's branding. Mm-hmm. It's really branding. Mm-hmm. And just like we, you know, talked about earlier, you have been able to, well, basically brand yourself. You're known for this and this alone because you know it well. You do it well. You've been doing it for a long time now.
Perhaps for asking questions with neither fear or favor.
Exactly.
Just being a very simple servant of the truth.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And basically, what I've been able to do is having a small business bid for the same job with a right next to a big organization. Mm-hmm. Because when you brand yourself, you're able to, you know, look more professional. You're able to, you know, look more attractive. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's what I've been able to do with all the small businesses that I've been able to help out, you know, in terms of their branding.
For example, yes. Yesterday when we were talking,
yes.
You said that there is something that you have that is like a mobile billboard.
Yes.
Something rather subliminal.
T-shirts. Uh-huh. T-shirts, you know, in my own opinion, they're a walking billboard, because... When, like, something like what I'm wearing right now, Forever Determined, mm-hmm. whenever I walk...
Forever what?
Forever Determined. Uh-huh. You know, when you go out there, people see that. Uh-huh. Oh, wow, I like that. But if it was to, you know, be like a spot, just in one spot, mm-hmm. only just a few people would be able to see it. But wherever I go, wearing the shirt, that's how much people I'm going to actually, you know... get to, you know, let them see what it is that I'm wearing or what it is that I'm selling.
How do you know, simply because you have it written there,
yes.
People are reading it?
Yeah.
People are interacting with it?
From, you know, the feedback that I get, you know, and I do get, you know, some stares also. you know, I'm just walking on the street, mm-hmm. you know, maybe, you know, going to the mall or something, and, oh, nice shirt. Oh, I like that.
And how has that translated, for example, in terms of the bank account?
Well, that's true. You know, that's where the challenge comes, you know, for a lot of business owners. You know, when I get that kind of feedback, I'll be like, oh, you know what? You can actually get one. Just go to this website.
Very interesting. Paul, earlier you said that there are countries on the continent where governments have provided an enabling environment. Which are some of those countries?
You can talk about, there is a concerted effort by the African Union to have all African countries have something to do with ICT, because that's the thing that is happening on the continent. Mm-hmm. But there are some countries that have done remarkably well, especially Kenya, South Africa, in most cases, Uganda, Rwanda.
We have heard about Rwanda, Senegal, being perhaps Africa, Singapore.
Yes, Ghana, really Nigeria. Absolutely. I mean, politics aside, I think they are doing very, very well in terms of ICT, in terms of technology. As of recent, actually, they were the first country to test drones to fly drugs
to
different rural areas. Now they're even thinking about maybe using the same drones to deliver small packages to different rural areas. So when it comes to the ICT sector, I think they are leading. Of course, Kenya, when it comes to innovation, Kenya has done phenomenally well.
Someone might ask about Rwanda and especially the Great Lakes region. Any plans, for example, about a drone that could distribute peace in that region?
Well, I think that question is above my pay grade, but what I can say is that with these young people taking up initiatives, anything is possible. I can see, for example, I'll give an example of two Rwandans that I've met in the last year, who are actually, by the way, pitching their ideas this week at the San Francisco, at the Global Economic Summit.
Silicon Valley.
Yes, in Silicon Valley. One of them is called Jean Bosco Nzimana. Mm-hmm. This is a guy, he's now 23 years old. He came up with an idea. You know, the saying that one man's trash is another man's gold. So he basically turned trash, household trash, into gold for himself. What he's doing is he's making briskets, which people use for firewood. So basically, he has transformed his entire family. He comes from a very, very poor background. He has transformed his village. And now he's on a global stage. He's competing with other people from all over the world who are doing similar things but using different technologies. Then there's also another guy called Henry Nyakirund, also from Rwanda. He came up with a solar kiosk. Mm-hmm. The way it works is that it charges cell phones for people, but he has taken the business, he has scaled up the business to another level to use the same solar kiosk to sell airtime. If people want to make phone calls, if you don't have a phone call, you can approach one of his agents and you make a phone call. But so that's the kind of technology that we are talking about. And some of these guys, there are so many other innovations that are coming out of Rwanda. So going back to your earlier statement, I think it's possible that one of these days somebody might create a drone that will deliver peace.
Did those two gentlemen tell you what inspired them in particular?
They are all driven by this issue of unemployment or wanting to change their circumstances. For example, Jean Bosco told me that what drove him, his house was right next to a trash field where everybody would dump trash. So every day he would wake up, he would look at that trash, he said, what can I do with this trash? So he decided to start up this business where he compacts trash and ferments it and turns it into briskets, which are used as firewood. And the other gentleman, Henry Nyakirundi, pretty much is from a totally different generation, went to school here in the United States. But while he was here, he figured out that, you know what, nearly every African now has a phone. In Rwanda, people have phones, but they don't have a way of charging those phones. So he came up with a great idea of charging phones You don't have to own a charger. You don't have to own a house that has electricity, but you can walk to a nearby kiosk and charge your phone.
Unfortunately, time happens not to be our best ally, but we'll come later to that. You are tuned in to Straight Talk Africa, and we'll have more of a discussion in a moment. But first, here is Mariam Jaro. Take it away, Mariam.
Well, Shaka, a drone that would one day deliver peace, maybe we should put a patent on it. Maybe one of us in this room can come up with it, and we'll be ready to market it out there. What's still to come, we'll reveal some of the fantastic feedback we've received from our audience through social media. But now, here is our letter of the week from a Straight Talk Africa Facebook follower who had a lot to say on entrepreneurship.
Bishop Kunza Iyo from Nigeria writes, "Entrepreneurship has impacted immensely the lives of young Africans, especially Nigerians. The current ugly economic issues have ravaged and stopped the progress and development of our economy, but our youths are poised to learn viable entrepreneurial skills that will bring sustainability for them and the continent at large. Africa can consciously boast of focused and committed entrepreneurs like Aliko Dangote and Mike Adenuga. These business tycoons have really boosted the confidence and aspirations of young Africans."
Today's youth are not just the next generation of African leaders, they are today's leaders. And this is the time to invest in them, today, not tomorrow. So let's connect. Let's engage with each other on issues that will transform our societies.
Innovation, leadership, entrepreneurship, things that you're doing to move the continent forward to make you the greatest generation that Africa has known.
It's Upfront every Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
This is Straight Talk Africa on The Voice of America. Call us now with your questions and comments. The number is 202-619-3111 and the U.S. country code is 1. Call us direct and we'll call you right back. Remember to turn down the volume on your radio or television and keep your comments brief. Now back to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Gidiyuwat, and welcome back to Straight Talk Africa. Live from Washington, once again, it's time to bring in my colleague and social media reporter, Mariama. Take it away again, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka. The 7th Annual Global Entrepreneurship Summit is back in the United States after stops in Turkey, the United Arab Emirates, Malaysia, Morocco, and last year in Kenya. U.S. President Barack Obama is hosting the event in Silicon Valley. And the aim is to showcase entrepreneurs and investors from here and around the world, creating new opportunities for investment, partnership, and highlight entrepreneurship as a means to address some of the most intractable global challenges. Well, this leads us to our question of the week, which asks, entrepreneurship is driving innovation across Africa, and how much of an impact do you think that African entrepreneurs are having on the continent? Well, before we begin, I'd like to thank you all for using our social media platform to communicate to us. Another reminder that we are tweeting live today. Just use the hashtag VOA African Entrepreneurs. And if you haven't yet, do follow us. Speaking of Twitter, let's go to a tweet from Martin Nyalusi in Tanzania, who tweets that they face capital problems, good markets, and good policies from the governments, which will reflect on them. Well, now we'll turn to a Facebook comment from one of our Facebook followers. This time it's Martin Maniel Wugol from Uganda, who writes that in Uganda, many African entrepreneurs have no support, either materially or anyone with encouraging advice on how to improve their business? Well, these are great questions out there. Shaq and Gus, your take.
Very interesting. Mr. Bello.
Yes.
Your reaction.
Well, the question really says it all in terms of the amount of impact that African entrepreneurs have been able to give to the continent. Definitely, of course, has been able to create jobs, you know, for Africans. But there's something that actually stands out for me more is the hope that they bring. You know, because, I mean, we talk about, you know, different things that are, you know, we struggle with, you know, electricity, you know, not good enough water, you know, and also in terms of, like, you know, not being able to get enough support, you know, from the government. You know, but with all this, you know, young entrepreneurs, they've been able to bring hope, you know, to a local trader, you know, that is selling a product. You know, but with, you know, with the help of online e-commerce platform, you know, like Jumia and Konga.com, Engie, they've been able to, you know, open that market, you know, for this local people. So with them having that, it brings hope that, oh, you know what, my product can actually get to someone across the continent. You know, so I really feel like, you know, hope, you know, is definitely something that, you know, that stands out also apart from, you know, job creation.
I see. Mariama, do you have more reaction from the audience, please?
Yes, we'll go to a Facebook comment from Yahya Ahmed Gumel from Nigeria, who writes that the contribution of African entrepreneurs in the area of job creation and economic growth are enormous, absolutely echoing what Kunle just said. But however, he continues, he says that a lack of sufficient government intervention and support is becoming a major stumbling block undermining African entrepreneurship. It is imperative that African governments prioritize and inject huge amounts of capital into entrepreneurship because it's vital to economic growth and development. Great points made by Yahya, Guest, and Shaka. Again, your take.
Paul, your reaction.
I could not agree with Yahya more because I think the governments have the moral responsibility really to build an enabling environment for entrepreneurship to thrive, for these young innovators to put out ideas that are going to be sold on the global market. What's happening is that, of course, governments are also trying to be wary of what the social media or what the internet can do. In some cases, governments are highly restrictive when it comes to how people use the social media. And I think, personally, I think that's going to impede the development of entrepreneurship on the continent. I think this is a platform that allows people really to express themselves. This is a platform that allows people to tap into other people's ideas. And I think that what is important, what needs to happen is governments figuring out a way of coming to table with these entrepreneurs, anybody who wants to come up with a solution and sit down on the table and have a conversation.
Very interesting. Well, thank you very much, Mariama, for bringing us this week's audience reaction.
Well, thanks, Shaka. And that will do it for today's social media segment. Just a reminder that we appreciate all the feedback, whether it's in social media form or using other means to communicate to us. Please keep them coming. If you are a new fan, just drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. Once again, our email address is africatv@voanews.com, or post your comment on our Facebook page. Just enter the keywords Straight Talk Africa. Be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com, or you can join our YouTube channel. Sign up to VOA TV to Africa and follow us on Twitter at VOA Shaka. A reminder that the show is streaming live every Wednesday. Just go to the VOA Straight Talk Africa TV program page on our website, or simply watch us live on your mobile device. Just don't forget to download the VOA mobile app. Now, let's take a look at what's on tap for next week's program.
Next week on Straight Talk Africa, we'll discuss the 18-year prison sentence given to former Congolese Vice President Jean-Pierre Bemba by the International Criminal Court for rape and murder in the Central African Republic. That's next week, right here on Straight Talk Africa.
Welcome back. And today, of course, we're talking about the challenges and opportunities of African entrepreneurship. Our distinguished guests are Kunle Bello, an African entrepreneur based here in the greater Washington, D.C. area, and Paul Ndiho, VOA multimedia reporter who has interviewed and interacted with many young and upcoming innovators on the African continent. Well, gentlemen, again, profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to interact with you on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you.
You're most welcome. Let me come to you immediately, Kunle. Yes. You come from, of course, Nigeria.
Yes.
The most populous nation on the continent, mm-hmm. a country that has, of course, the largest economy on the continent. In many ways, some people will tell you one out of every four Africans may, in fact, be a Nigerian. Mm-hmm. You agree with that?
Yes, I do.
Why couldn't you do what you are doing here? Why did you leave Lagos? It's one of the largest cities in the world. Plenty of market there.
Yes. And funny that you said that because I'm actually, setting up over there. I went back home 2014. Mm-hmm. In 2015, to go basically set up what I have over here there because I found out that, there's a lot of opportunities to be able to also create jobs and also be able to, even help the market in terms of customization and also branding. I found out that, a lot of people love, to customize things. And I mean, it just makes a whole lot of sense to be able to, put my own ideas and be able to help that, to become, something big. Mm-hmm. So it definitely, does make sense, for me to do this. My own way of giving back, to the community, where I came from. And something that I'm also looking on doing is that for every shirt that is being customized, it will actually give to a nonprofit organization, or actually to be able to, go out there to the rural areas to be able to create, give them clothing, for the people that, are less privileged. So that's my own way of also using what I have, to be able to, give back to the Nigerian community.
Very interesting. Paul, you obviously have crisscrossed the continent, and there are some people who will say there must be a correlationship between democracy, openness, societies that are relatively more open, and those are places where perhaps you are very likely to get a lot of innovators, as opposed to societies which are politically closed, which do not allow, for example, freedom of expression. True?
You're right in a sense that, in some areas where there's a lot of innovation, surprisingly, there are also repressive governments.
For example,
Rwanda. Rwanda is, by any measure, considered a repressive government, but there are a lot of young people.
Rwanda itself says, in fact, it's one of the more democratic societies on the African continent.
That's subject to debate, but when you look at what they have been able to do, despite the repression, despite these young people are saying, you know what, we need to think outside of the box. We need to be risk takers. We need to figure out a way of going around the repression. You also talk about countries like Nigeria. Nigeria, it's very vibrant, but at the same time, you can say it has those tendencies where people are not allowed to do certain things. But look at, they are leading in terms of innovation. They are leading in terms of entrepreneurship. Aliko Dangote is one of the richest men in Africa.
He's the richest
man in Africa. But he has thrived in an environment that a lot of people would not want to do business in. So where there is that kind of, the higher the risk, the higher the return of investment. So these people who are willing to take risks in such countries, they are doing very, very well.
But what about cultures? Isn't also culture a factor? There are cultures which are more likely to, more amenable to take risk. There are others which are a little bit more conservative.
You could say that. I'll give an example of, let's say Tanzania versus Kenya. In Kenya, you have very, very vibrant, the community is very vibrant. Everybody is a business person. Then you go to Tanzania, on the other hand, people do businesses, but they're not business savvy as Kenyans. So culture plays a role, but it's not, it plays a role to a certain extent. It doesn't stop people from doing what they're supposed to do. In some cases, it might hinder what they're supposed to accomplish, But I think it's very minimal.
Very interesting. A reminder that you are tuned into Straight Talk Africa. To participate in our discussion, please call us at 202-619-3111. U.S. country code is 1. We'll continue our discussion in a moment, so please, don't go away.
We are able to touch on things that are important to people on an everyday basis. We hope that our viewers are getting inspired when they watch our show. They're getting a view of the world from a different perspective, things that perhaps are not in their immediate vicinity. Today, I could put in on the show something that is a little different, a little unique, and this gives me that inspiration to come to work.
If you like today's show, please write and tell us what you think or give us some suggestions. Be sure to tell us what station you're tuned into. Our address, Straight Talk Africa, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. Or send us an email at africatv@voanews.com. Log on to our website at voaafrica.com. Or post your comments on Facebook. Keywords, Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githu Ewart. And of course, this is Straight Talk Africa, coming to you live from Washington. Paul, you told me that there's another Ndugu that you once met in the Republic of Ghana, who is currently also attending this prestigious conference in the Silicon Valley. In California.
This is another remarkable young man that I met last year in Kumasi, Ghana. His story is very, very interesting. He came up with this community project that makes bamboo-framed bicycles. And initially to support his siblings through school, but then he scaled up the project to a big business. Now he manufactures bicycles that are actually exported to the West. As of recent, they opened up a store in San Francisco, where he's actually exhibiting. He's part of the group that is pitching their businesses at the Global Summit. What is interesting about this young man is that he told me that what inspired him, where he grew up, there was a lot of bamboo. Bamboo grows wild in Africa. It's a free natural resource. People call it, now in some places, people call it the gold, the new gold of Africa. So he decided to tap into that. And by tapping into that, I mean he took a risk. He decided to look at other what are the other ways to harness or to come up with a product from bamboo. Because it's widely grown, nobody cares about it. There are forests and forests of bamboo. He said, let me start making things that maybe are energy efficient, that can just sell globally, not just in Ghana. And he came up with this wonderful project of making bicycles, and today he's one of the most popular guys. His name is Kwebena Danso of the Dansu project in Kumasi, Ghana.
Interesting. Let's go to the lifeline of the show, which are the telephone callers. Good evening, Tafa from Ghana. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa. Terrific. How are you?
I'm very sharp. How are you?
I'm afraid I can't quite decipher what you are saying. Looks like we have...
No.
Yes, can you... Yes, what are you saying?
What can you hear me?
I'm having some problems with your phone line. Hello? Can you hear me? I'm afraid, let's go to Nigeria. Good evening, Patrick. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Good evening, Mr. Shaka. Good evening, our guest in the studio.
Terrific. How are you today?
So. That's Okra for Patrick here in Arutuku, Nigeria. I want to find out from our guest. You see, how do one assess as a small-scale entrepreneur? Because many potential entrepreneurs does not have that capacity that serves as collateral security for soft loans. Now, look at Nigeria as our guest knows very well. Items like tomatoes, onions, salad items are only cheap, during the season. Now, after the season, these farmers, they have a lot of problems on how to preserve this, and even the consumers. How do we solve? Because I so enjoy this junior shopping, right? The way they deliver their things makes super. But the question is, the cost for one to patronize the organization is always a problem. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Kunle?
A good question there. I know over here what they're trying to do is when they have, the season for any produce, they basically produce them in a large quantity, mm-hmm. and also preserve them. I know, of course, back home, it's so hard to do that, because of electricity and all those different things, that is holding you back, holding a lot of, entrepreneurs back, from doing these things. What I would say really is to just try as much as possible to make use of what you have. If it's that, in a season, when we have tomatoes, like you said, what can I do to make it actually in a larger quantity, mm-hmm. and preserve just maybe like 50% of that? I know it's going to be hard and it's going to be tough, but just to make something, big out of something small, out of your small resources. I mean, that's what I would encourage, trying to push more and not focus so much on the challenges that you have, even though they're there. And that's what I've been able to do, with my own business. I know when I started, this customization and printing business, I was looking to get a bigger machine to print in bulk, quantity. Mm-hmm. But I decided to start small and say, you know what, instead of me having running around to go look for capital, mm-hmm. here and there and driving myself crazy and not even, wanting to go with the idea, I started with the little that I had. So, getting a small machine.
So is it like the moral equivalent of saying that you go to war with the army that you have?
Exactly.
Rather than the one that you wish you had?
Basically, because what I found out was that by me doing that, I have more knowledge about what I do. Because if I had gotten, a bigger machine that would print, this shirts or these customized shirts, it would have been so hard for me to be able to understand what I have now after 8 years.
I see. Let's go to East Africa. Good evening, Samuel from Uganda. You're most welcome. Straight Talk Africa.
Good evening, Ndugu Shaka. How are you?
I am usually terrific, Ndugu Sam. How are you today?
I'm very fine. Thank you for bringing in Paul Ndiho. My friend Paul Ndiho, Shaka Sell will give you my CV so that we can interact after the show or in the future. Now, I go to Paul Ndiho. How can the European and U.S. markets help African entrepreneurs to market and sell their products? What contingency plans are to be put into place to ensure that the European and U.S. governments can actively give some tax relief and exemption on the exports to the international markets so that they can promote international trade? Thank you, Shaka, and thank you, Paul Ndiho, and the host.
Thank you, Samuel, for that great question. I don't know if you are aware or if you've heard of what they call AGOA. The Africa Growth and Opportunity Act, something that was started by President Bush that allows Africans to export, actually to bring their merchandise here in the United States. That's one area that I will tell you maybe to look at and maybe figure out how you can. I know they have an office in Kampala. You can, if you want contacts, I can help you reach out to those people and maybe they can help you. The other thing that personally, I would advise you to do is to look at your own market. There is potential in Africa. There is a lot of potential in Africa. Instead of looking at the European or the American market, I think if you started just by tapping into the market around you, I think you'd do a much better job than trying to tap into the American market here.
Thank you. Let's go to Tanzania. Good evening, Tanzania. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa. I do not see the name.
Oh, thank you, Shaka. My name is John Silayo. I'm calling from Tanzania.
Thank you very much, Ndugu John. Your question?
I don't have a question, but rather I would like to comment a little bit on how entrepreneurship can be spread among African continents and successfulness of it.
One minute, only Ndugu John. 1 minute, please.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes, in fact, I was just trying to look at the topic and trying to analyze on how entrepreneurship is being learned in African continent, that sometimes it is being done mostly on the tertiary education. But if we want to have more entrepreneurs and people who are committed to entrepreneurship, maybe things can be started from the scratch. For example, if someone is being developed from the young stage to become an entrepreneurship, if, for example, look at people like Japanese, they are trying to do things from the scratch, but we are trying to do things at the secondary stage. So if that thing is being done exactly in a young age, which means we have more people who are committed into entrepreneurship, and then later on we have people who are committed and do something which can make our continent more of aspired. So what I think is that even the government policies, they must make sure that what they are going to develop in their constitutions, sometimes when they are going to discuss things in the parliamentary issues, they must think about it.
Thank you.
That knowledge when they are young.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, Shaka. I have my comments.
Thank you so much, Ndugu John. Let me come to you again, Kunle.
Yes.
I gather that you would like to share with us some of the stuff that you have actually done.
Yes.
Done some stuff on Voice of America,
yes,
Straight Talk Africa.
Straight Talk Africa.
Can you show it so that maybe some people can see it through the camera or something?
This is something that I just pulled up and created, you know, just overnight, you know, for Shaka. You know, just wanting to have a branded, you know, shirt, polo shirt that I can wear. You know, as it goes,
I hope the Voice of America does not regard this as a bribe.
Well, no, not at all. It's just a gift, you know, just a gesture, really.
Yeah.
So, and Paul, this is for you too.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Now, Paul, I would like to ask you a $1 billion question.
Okay.
You talked about all the enterprising, remarkable entrepreneurs you met. As a kid who was a minority in my family, majority of them being girls, I have not heard you mention a single woman.
Did
you meet any young ladies doing the same thing?
Actually, contrary to what you're saying, there are a lot of young women who are doing very, very innovative things on the continent. You go to any tech hub, for example, you go to iHub in Nairobi, Kenya, you go to Outbox in Kampala, Uganda.
What about the
Bongo Hive
in Barara?
Oh, Bongo Hive in Zambia. You find a lot of ladies. There are so many ladies who are doing. It's just that maybe the media doesn't do them justice. But on a whole, there are a lot of very, very smart young women and who are really into entrepreneurship, who have created things that are making headlines worldwide. And so I think, in fairness to them, I think they are on the rise.
Thank you very much. Well, on that note, thanks to our distinguished guests, Kunle Bero, an African entrepreneur based here in the greater Washington, D.C. area, and Paul Ndiho, VOA multimedia reporter who has interviewed and interacted with many young and upcoming innovators on the continent. Thanks to our affiliate stations, along with our viewers and listeners, we thank you for tuning in. For many of our Voice of America radio affiliates, Learning English is coming up next. And tomorrow morning, it's Daybreak Africa with James Bate. On behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning into Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not beta Africa. And please remember to keep the African hopes alive.